Is there a time in your life where you feel like you have leveled up in person?
No, I'm sucking shit all the way.
Wait, what was the question?
is there a time in life that you feel like you've leveled up in person?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll give one to start. When my little girl started to get older, we got her a set of roller skates, and then I bought myself some. And my wife and her, our girl, are much better than me. But I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at roller skating. I leveled up in that way. I didn't think I could ever do it. I thought it was impossible. And then I did it, and I was like, this is fun, and I can do it.
Nice.
You know what? Speaking on the concept of gaining skills, that's kind of a form of level up. I would say for this past Christmas, we got my son a ukulele.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, well, I can't afford lessons, so I guess I just need to learn it so I can teach him.
Yep.
And he's like too young to really like have the attention span to be like, put your finger here, not strum.
Now this is a chord. Like,
he's like, no, I want to play. And he just kind of banks the thing. So in my little moments of like, if I'm like watching the kids and they're just like playing with stuff, I like grab the ukulele and I like put on like a, or I like look up like ukulele like chords for like a song that I like. Mm-hmm. And I'll just try to match the finger positions. And because I know the song, I can kind of figure out the strumming pattern. So I don't know if I've gotten a full level up, but I'm definitely really close to a level up. And with this, I guess this is my what do they call it in 2E? They call it a dedication or something.
You're going for a good old youth bard dedication.
Yep. So well on my way. I guess a different art form of bard, because I already have the singing
right.
Bard.
Anybody who's known Tim for any amount of time could tell that he started his life with a bard dedication.
Yeah.
True.
Came right out singing.
Tim will be a bard in our future feudal America.
Yeah,
that will be your contribution.
Yeah. I'll just be in some rundown tavern, just playing for my bread.
I tried to do wizard, but I'm not smart enough, so I'm going straight barbarian.
This is one that I've always felt this way about, but it was the first time I changed my oil on my own.
That's a good one.
Like long time ago. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, when I was like 15 or something, I was like, I'm going to start changing my oil because I don't think I need to take this in. Yeah. So that's always been a big moment for me. I was like, fuck yeah, I can fix my car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely a thing. Because I mean, like my dad always kind of force me to go out there with the car, you know, whenever you change it. Yep. But yeah, it's such a good feeling when you're like, oh shit, I've do this by myself. And you're like, I get it.
Wait.
I got it.
I can do it by myself.
I can do it.
God.
Do you guys want to hear a horror oil change story?
Oh, please. Yes, those are the best.
Okay, so.
Or the worst. I don't know.
It didn't happen to me, so.
So, we had, my wife and I had a baby in 2024. It's been a crazy year. Man, we've neglected a lot of things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so right before we went on this trip that I'm, maybe it's a little more echoey, just because I'm not in my usual recording studio, but we decided to get the car checked out, and I was just like, Ariel, we like really need to do this, because it's been on my mind for like a year. Like, we need to take this car.
Oh, God.
I was like, I think I changed the oil recently. I think I just did it like 5 months ago, so it should be okay, but we need all these other fluids changed. And she's like, all right, we'll just do it. I'm like, okay. So we take it in, and it's just like, you know what? The main reason we're coming in is to brake fluid, automatic transition fluid. Oh, you know, just do the oil while you're at it. Like, I did that recently. And I get a call a couple hours later.
Worst feeling.
Oh, no.
To be honest.
I know, my stomach drops. And it's like, hey, it's so and so from so and so. We need to do a second oil change on your car.
What?
The mechanic came out and showed me black sludge that was supposed to be oil.
Oh.
And they have to do a special like performance cleaning of your car in order to try to cycle out all the crud. So they basically had to change my oil twice.
What? What?
When, yeah.
What happened?
Okay, when was the last time you got it changed before that?
After, like, talking with Ariel again, I was like, I thought I just got the oil changed, like, 5 months ago. And Ariel's like, Timmy, that was a year ago.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, needless to say,
change your oil.
Change your oil, kids.
If you're listening to this and you're driving a car or you have a car, get that oil changed. Yeah. Do it right now.
If you haven't done it in the last, like, 2 months, check it.
Put your phone down. Stop this recording right now.
On the highway.
Actually, listen to the recording while you change your oil.
That's a good point.
Perfect.
Yeah.
None of our fans can change their oil.
I doubt that.
Call me. I'll come show you how to change your oil. It's a lot of fun. It's real easy.
If you pay for a ticket, Jake will come over to your place and change it for you.
Yeah.
$5 on Patreon. Sure.
And he will do it in the voice of Elba or anyone else you want.
Yeah, I'll ruin my voice.
Anyone else? So we can have Jay Carino change our oil.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, that's only if they have a Fiat.
I only change the Fiat.
You take the car and you push it into the lake.
You buy a new one. You buy a one.
Hey, this is called insurance fraud.
Oh, jeez. Let's see. I'm trying to think of, like, the last time I maybe leveled up, besides, you know, when you change jobs, professions that pay more.
Oh, definitely.
I feel like. Yeah. But honestly, if I had to go for more of a physical one, back in the day, I used to work out a lot because I used to go to the Y and stuff, like, right after work. And it was probably one of the first times that I was able to improve, like, doing anything with, like, you know, what they call the skull crushers and all that stuff. But anyway, doing a...
Stand up and show off those washboard abs.
I used to be actually fucking fit as shit. But, you know, it takes one injury to really make me go, nah, don't feel like it anymore. Yeah. Also, paying for protein powder, God, it cost way too goddamn much. But it was the first time I was able to bench press over my weight.
Oh,
that
nice.
That was, like, one of the things I was like, I could do it 10 times. But then after that, I'm like, I don't want to do it again because that's soft. But it was like that feeling though, like, because I used to have a workout partner and stuff, and they were like, "Yeah, come on." And I'm like, "All right, let's go." but you know, like that feeling though, like when you finally rack it back up and you don't like do the shame thing of like you start shaking badly and then you have to go like, "Oh crap, I gotta tilt."
I don't
think
that's a shame thing. I think that's genuinely you just being tired.
Oh yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, the shame thing being the thing of and it sucks, but you want to survive. It's when you can't pull it up and then you kind of lower itself back on your chest and then you tilt the pole so the weights fall off
one side.
But the problem is the reason it's a shame thing is because everyone then looks at you.
Yeah,
because
so
they hear
loud.
The clattering weights and you're like, my bad. Like, that's why you have a spotter.
Big time. Right.
Yep.
But that was a good day. That was like a day I was like, oh my God, I had never done this before. And then I was really good. Then I was like, oh, that's right. I was in my 20s at that time.
You just reminded me. Kel, I forgot my protein shake today.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was like, Kel, what are you benching these days? Like 625 or something?
God, I wish. My working weight went up to... oh shit, what was it? 235 the other day? Steph felt pretty good.
Working?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, but more than I weigh is what that is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's not benching me yet.
I actually need someone to come to the gym and spot me because I want to actually get a one rep max bench. But
well, if you go to the gym at 9 o'clock at night like I do, I'll be there.
Yeah, brother, I'll come and do it.
Sometimes I go to the gym at 9.
I don't know how we keep missing each other then, because.
Well, I think I did. I was doing that a lot more, like almost a year ago. I've gotten better.
Okay, yeah. No, I've every single time I've gone to the open gym, it's like 9 o'clock at night and nobody's there, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Our gym's always empty because with open gym, it's fantastic.
Yeah, there was a gym down the road from me that they for a while they were a 24-hour gym, so you just swiped your card and you just went in, and I fucking loved that. And then they sold to the Y, and that all went by the wayside. So.
Yeah, that was the one by, I think it was by the food line, right?
Yeah, it's in next to the bank.
Yeah. Because that was the one I used to go to all the time because I would go back from work. But yeah, I remember that when they transitioned to the Y, and I forgot it was actually something beforehand.
Yep, 24-hour gym.
Yeah. Hmm.
Huh. Well, clearly you guys are benching a lot more with your character level ups.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you guys got with your new level ups. Let's keep this short and sweet. Let's just do the cool things. Let's not go into some of the nitty gritty details, but let's talk about some of the awesome stuff that you guys get for level 12.
Well, for starters, I'm even harder to die.
Yeah, well. Surprise, surprise.
AC plus one. My AC is now 35 if I have a shield connected to me.
Poop.
Which I always do.
Yep.
Funny enough, for skill feats, I have... I'm too angry to die. Which, if anybody knew the greater context of our characters, this just works with Benson. Mm-hmm. Basically, anytime Benson gets knocked down and then is brought up again, I get a free intimidation chance for anybody I want to. So I basically die, I wake up, and I just scream and I scare people.
It's just so on brand.
Benson's just getting more terrifying and intense.
Yeah.
The biggest one I got was Blessed Counter-Strike. So you call upon a divine power, a weapon, or unarmed strike against an enemy who triggered your champion's reaction. And the strike deals an extra point of weapon damage, so I get to do extra damage, and the strike hits until the start of your next turn, so my next turn, even though I use my reaction for it. The target gains a weakness equal to half of your level.
the blender just got adamantine bleeds. Is all that happened?
That's I'm a bad dude.
Yeah.
So those are the biggest things that happened to me.
That's awesome. So Garn continues his discovery of his newfound power. And he gets another eminence and transcendence for his weapon icon. It's called Compliant Gold. I can command my weapon to grow bigger, and it can become a reach weapon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Dang.
Yeah. But this is not even the best part. The transcendence, which is when you spark your eminence, you like release the spark, and you usually have some sort of cool power that's associated with it. I got Topple the Pillar of Heaven. This is great.
Damn. That's a cool fucking name.
The names of all these abilities are just so unbelievably awesome.
Wait, so hold on. Have we talked about what your class is?
I was just about to ask that. I was like, are we talking about what your class is now?
Yeah, I guess we're talking about what class.
Let's talk about that for a split second before you continue.
Okay, so my class is Exemplar. If you don't know, like if you, the listener, don't know anything about the lore of Exemplar, I actually ask you to not look it up. Don't look it up.
Yeah, but by all accounts, he's a war priest. But we will get into why this class is here now, even though it should not be. We have a very, very interesting tie-in for this. So we'll get to that in an episode or two. But go on with some of your abilities. But just know that he's a war priest thing.
Mm-hmm. So, my icon extends to an impossible length, striking all in its way. I get to deal 6d8 damage to all creatures in a 60-foot line.
What?
Awesome.
Yeah, and they get a basic reflex save.
Jeez. All right.
Sounds like some stupid bullshit.
I mean, it sounds fun as shit, but yeah.
It is. It's so awesome. There were a couple other cool ones, but... I mean, being able to just have a reach weapon.
I mean, this character came out of the War of the Immortals book, the book where they release mythic rules. So,
oh, that's true. That's true.
Pretty cool. I'm just dealing with vanilla paladin here.
I know. And I still can't kill you, so.
Yeah.
And keep trying, bitch.
And then for my skill feat, I took advanced first aid. So that it still falls in line with his war priest training. So he's fought in lots of battles. He's old. He's 247. So he's fought in lots of battles, and he was the primary healer. So when his divine healing ran out, he had to resort to mundane means. So continues on that path of applying what he's learned throughout his long life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go before Kezra, just because mine's really easy, actually. I mean, since we only got two small things. I mean, they're great, but Ranger's easy. So choosing from a different selection here, I mean, a couple things. But the one thing I picked, which I thought was just really cool thematically, was something called Obscured Emergence. So, namely, since I always play with him with stealth, like, coming in. So basically this whole thing is that when you by nature, a thing of the gloomy woods and barren wilds, and when you choose to show yourself, a bit of gloom clings to you, obscuring your form with a strange distortion of mist. When I stop being hidden due to my own actions, so if I shoot, I actually am concealed.
Until the end
of my next turn as people. So it's kind of like that I come out of hiding and it's just like a small bit of smoke around me, like for a moment, and then it goes away. But the thing is, it doesn't say that it's like once a day. It's just that I can't use it to hide and just keep doing it. But like, again, if I go into hiding, like, you know, stealth, disappear again, and then pop back out, then it would activate again.
Huh.
So, because it usually always happens. I expose myself and then Jake's like, oh, there he is. And then like,
get him.
Tries to immediately teleport half the time.
But, yeah. Huh.
And, yeah, I mean, it was just like an ability, because I saw the other ones, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but that I was like, yeah, that's pretty kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Having concealment on like an open, because the strategy here has always been, because it gives you invisibility, it gives you another level into the second round.
Oh, definitely.
You know, after you do that opening shot, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, and the only other thing is something called Shadow Mark. And that is one I think is also thematic. That is, it basically, I can stealth against people, and they usually, if I'm stealthing against someone now because I'm a master in stealth, they get a -3 towards their perception checks towards me.
Oh my god!
So awesome. It just turns into hiding, and they have a tougher time trying to figure out where the hell I am.
Gotcha. Nice.
So
got even sneakier.
Yep. Damn straight.
All right.
So at level 10, I had to take my greater bloodline feat, which gave me my dragon wings. But there's other really cool sorcerer feats at that level, one of which is quicken to casting. And then at level 12, there's a bunch of other really cool ones. But I'm actually skipping the sorcerer feat. I'm going over to the barbarian side again. And I'm taking the advanced fury feat, which allows me to take a up to 6th level barbarian feat. And I am taking attack of opportunity or a reactive strike.
Oh my god.
Oh, wow. Oh my god. So me and Kaiser have attack of opportunity
or reactive strike.
The tides are turning in this party.
John gives everybody attack of opportunities.
I've also got the blessed counter strike.
Yep.
Yeah. And blessed counter strike.
So yeah. So good. And because it's a barbarian feat, I get an additional 3 hit points with my level up.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So my HP is up to 152.
God, that's awesome.
Yep, 152 is a sorcerer.
God, that's nothing compared to mine.
I'm a sorcerer.
Yeah, that's like the chunkiest sorcerer.
For a sorcerer, that's actually incredibly impressive.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, y'all saw me just do dragon form, so dragons have reach, all kinds of nasty attacks for for a reactive strike.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, all right. I'm going to double every combatant in every encounter going forward. Just to balance this shit. Okay.
Bullshit. You fucking killed someone not too long
but
ago.
But I didn't kill everyone, Mark.
Didn't kill everyone.
All right, so we ended the last episode with you guys walking away from the quarry, and you had this group of 16... they're not slaves anymore. What do you call them?
Free people?
Free people.
People. Freeloaders.
Isn't he freeloaders?
Shit. I'm just imagining it like, you work with us now. Like,
you're in our employ now. We'll pay you. As you guys did the ceremony for Grimshaw, you finished that up and you guys kind of went about your night, you know, talking or drinking or, you know, whatever it is that your characters do to cope with something like that. And I said that Elkwood saw a figure standing in the direction of the quarry. Elkwood, do you see this figure standing there? It appears to be a female figure, and she's mostly concealed, but you can kind of see it, you know, like this shadowy silhouette on with the shadowy background. You can still kind of see it there. Mm-hmm. You keep focusing on her, and you realize it got really, really quiet because everything around you is frozen in time again.
Yep. So, I would say at this point, I mean, like, he was drinking pretty heavily, just saying, whatever hooch you said that was. But I would say he's probably coming out of it a little bit. Like, it's kind of like one of those wake-up calls that the more you focus on something, the more it kind of like whatever he was feeling before, which was like this depression, it's like dread kind of starts coming in, kind of like,
mm-hmm.
You know, someone's about to yell at you quite a bit.
Yep.
But he doesn't understand it properly. Like I said, he's not a religious person, but he knows there's something at play here. So, and you said that she is by the quarry entrance.
Yeah, well, you guys have walked away from it, so she,
yeah, about a mile
she's
away.
She's just in the direction of it, really, but...
Yeah, so he will, I mean, judging if other people, he will slip away unnoticed, like, unless their perception check get over his...
I mean, they're all frozen in time. Like,
oh, that's true. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
okay.
So you just stand up and the entire crowd behind you is just frozen solid.
Hmm.
And the color seems to drain out the closer you get to her.
Yeah.
And the closer that you get as you continue walking toward her, you can see that she has a hood over her face, and she has her head's kind of down, sort of concealing any features.
Hmm.
And you get within about, like, 20 feet before she kind of, like, looks up a bit, and it's clear that she acknowledges you.
Hmm. And he pauses as well, kind of taking that as the moment to stay the distance. He kind of waits. He's like, because he's unsure what to do. Like, he's kind of not trying to fidget, but he kind of also lowers his head slightly and looks back up.
And she, with her head still lowered, says, "What are you so afraid of?" You hear this voice almost in your mind.
And Elk kind of sits for a moment, and he was kind of speaking, kind of going back to his conversation with Benson about kind of what happened before, like, and he was thinking back to the Ruxasha and all that stuff, and he's just, I suppose I fear capture. I fear imprisonment. I fear not being in control.
There is freedom in the gifts I give you. There's a long pause. Then she says, so many bodies going to waste, Ranger. You capitalized on nothing. The wild is where you belong. The rot and decay.
And it's like at a moment that like he was thinking about, like, ever since the Bwangi, he kind of had this feeling, especially after that one charcoal priest, I believe it was, that he took its heart and tried, but then immediately couldn't stomach it. It was just kind of like this feeling, and then he's like, I cannot. That's not me. That's not what I want to be. I want to be free. I want to be part of nature. I can't. Not in that direction.
Nature is a cycle. You belong in that cycle. I've given you gifts. And the image of Vemir pops into your head.
Yeah. And I thank you for those gifts. I'm simply... That isn't me. I cannot eat the flesh of another like that. I cannot.
Open your mind to it, Elkwood. There is so much here with Mother.
And I can't. And he kind of holds his hands over his head. He's just like, I can't do that. I will not do that. I can't lose that part of me. I can't go that direction. Leave it to the vultures. I'm not a vulture. I hunt and I eat what I kill, but I cannot do something like that.
She lifts her head up and you can see that she has a rag around her eyes showing that she's blind. I thought you were a gifted child. A revenant of a life gone by. But no. I see nothing for you. Keep your gift. I hope it destroys your heart because you're not willing to see the cycle in front of you. Be gone. I will take your rotting corpse when it is lying there like your friends. In an instant, just... whoosh, she's gone. And there's just a... almost like a puff of... not a puff of smoke, but like mist. And as it washes over you, you smell... dead flesh. Huh. And you... can't place it, but it sounds like the sound of, like, flies. Mm. And it, as it just washes over you, you feel like you've broken free of something.
Yeah. It does feel like a weird, odd burden is off of his shoulders, but it's kind of the concept of that he felt I don't know how to explain it. He was saved by Vemir, and there was this whole aspect to him that he kind of tried to dive into, but found out he couldn't. And then it just kind of started to revolt, like, revolts him, almost. Like, he was just... like, there was parts of him that was, like, fine, but then it's like, when it came to body, he's just like, no, I cannot. And then his mind just broke partially. Yeah. And honestly, and I'll put it like this, with any other thing too, it just felt like he was under control of somebody else. And that kind of, in probably the backseated part of his mind, he can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's... and so, at that, she vanishes. And... he is he like when time stopped, did it kind of seem like he is at the quarry and it kind of turns back. So he's like by himself or.
Yeah, I mean, when she disappears, the time seems to commence. So mm-hmm. you turn around and the fire's going, people are talking.
Okay.
It seems like none of them saw you leave. But you know, everybody's sort of talking and milling amongst themselves. So you're not too sure if they saw all that, but the last time this happened, no one noticed anything happened.
Because the last time that happened, I think it was. Oh man, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, real time.
But I think it was like either Kezra or something, or Adalar was there. And it was something like that he saw that was like spacing out, like that it was just kind of like I was brain dead for a moment.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, and it was just like kind of like, whoa, what's going on? Like, and so, yeah, like if he's there, it would be kind of like something that he kind of feels oddly okay, but at the same time, like something is weird inside his heart right now, and he just kind of. If everyone's just talking, he's just kind of, like, in the darkness, just watching everybody. Just kind of trying to get some sort of semblance of normality.
And yeah.
If normality is such a thing in this world.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because Kezra and Garn were chatting, and I think, Benson, is that when you were off with your tree?
That was me and Elk did that thing together, so...
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Okay.
He brought the tree back. We said we need to cut it into pieces.
Yeah. If you guys are ready, you can go ahead and get a good night's sleep. I mean, try anyway.
Benson will not. Benson will, as everyone is laying down, go back to the grave of... his fallen companion, Grimshaw, and he goes, and he has nothing. He's left all his armor back at the camp. He has only his sword, which, when he gets to Grimshaw's grave, he holds to his chest, upside down. Followers of Iomade often hold their swords as crucifixes upside down. And he holds it to his chest. He says, Iomade, inheritor mother, please take this mantle. Please take the life of your champion and give it to one who is deserving. Please. And he will then shove his sword into the ground, hoping something happens.
You shove your sword into the ground, and nothing happens physically. But what ends up happening within Benson is... there's a sense of duty that overcomes him and empowers him. And it gives you that feeling to know that, like, you were chosen. You were the only one who can do whatever this mission is. And there's something that, like, overcomes you that while you have failed and while sacrifices were made... the sacrifices happened because they had to. And it's gonna kill Benson because he gives his life for everybody. He gives his life to those around him. And for some reason he just can't sacrifice enough. And what ends up happening is that you take a big deep breath and you're clearly the new strength that you find, you're able to just like pull the sword out, and it feels lighter. Your shield feels tougher. Like there's so much about you that you're just like, I have to keep going. I'm chosen to do this, and here I am.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
I don't have to cry.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Just, he leaves one thing alongside of the rose that was placed. He leaves a symbol of Iomide, a little pendant. As he leaves it, he just can't hold himself together. He just says, I'm so sorry. And he walks away.
With all the emotion and everything, eventually you guys bed down. You guys make some makeshift beds for the for your newly freed citizens. But something happens with you, Elkwood. This whole thing made you really anxious, this whole encounter. And the dream that you have is one you sort of had before, where you're walking through the woods. And for like a second, you know, you kind of center yourself. You're like, no, I did go to sleep. So this is that kind of dream I had again. And for some reason in the dream, you feel your body weaken. And you kind of like fall to your knees and you lay down on your back and you look and you can see this like sickness is like overcoming you, like from your feet. And you can see your skin is starting to like decay. And it's going up your body, and you try to like do something. You try to like stop it. You try to like stifle the skin around it, and it comes up to your chest. And you start to like put your hands on your chest to try to stop it. And the skin starts to like tear away, and you're terrified and you're freaking out and you don't know what's happening. But a dark butterfly floats by and gently rests on you. And all of a sudden, all the decay and all the rot gets wiped away. And it's the breath that you intake when you wake up from this nightmare. That is like the most perfect breath of air that you've ever felt before. And it's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's the freedom that you have, though you are now free of the death that seems to have been haunting you and cursing you.
Yeah, it's kind of like with that nightmare, and he's just kind of like acceptance for a moment, but yeah, like that, he wakes up just kind of like if you've ever had that feeling of when you wake up from a dream, like all of a sudden you're like, oh my, like that, but it's kind of like everything's crystal clear. And like, it's kind of like he's seeing things with new eyes. Like guilt probably is melting away from him a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're able to rest peacefully now. You feel as though the Desna herself seems to have blessed you in your dreams and your sleep. And perhaps the rest of you. Desna's all about luck, too, so you go completely unmolested the rest of the night. You wake up, and I'll say this, the outer brain is starting to wear off from these people. And they were sort of sedated, you know, mentally from the outer brain, but now that they're coming to, they're starting to freak out. Realizing, you know, that they're like thinking back, who knows how long they have been there. But they're now realizing the situation that they're in. They were sort of herded around, you know, by the slavers for one, but now you guys, but now they're sort of coming too. And they're able to like think more cognitively and more clearly, and they're starting to ask you guys, and they're just like, where are we going? Where are you taking us? You know, they're obviously like a little scared. What do you guys do to kind of like calm their minds as they're coming to in this?
Garn is like, yeah, where are you taking us?
You're not helping. I swear to God.
Benson,
Garn,
stand
I swear
up.
To God.
Benson, you know, now the fully armored knight that he is, will attempt to calm people's nerves. And do we have a place we want to take these people? I need to ask the group that.
We drop them off at that one town between here and the Silver City. Like, here, guys.
Oh, the, God, what was the town called?
Yeah, the one with two bars and they were
constantly competing. I definitely remember, don't worry.
Yeah.
White Rock.
White Rock.
We're heading back to White Rock because the owner of the quarry is there.
Yes. True.
So we need to kind of report back to him. And then, I guess we'll figure out what to do with these people when we're at Whitehall. Do we take them back to Cantargo?
Benson will just stand up and say, quiet, quiet.
Rabble, rabble,
I understand.
Rabble. You're not in charge.
I understand you're very confused. We are going to take you back to a civilized city or a town. We have freed you, and Benson will go on explaining everything that happened. We are taking you back to that town. And if you want to come with us, if you want to go off on your own, that's fine. Nobody is telling you you cannot do that. But if you want to come with us, and Benson points out all of his comrades, we are going to shepherd you there.
Benson, these people don't know where they are. Garn is from Tal'Dorei.
I just told them they are.
I know. You didn't say where we are.
Okay. Everybody shut up again. Everybody shut up again. I've got to tell you exactly where the fuck we are.
I'm just saying, Kesra actually had the conversation with Garn where he learned that Garn isn't like local to Cantargo. He's from freaking Tal'Dor. So these people
are like thousands of miles away.
These people could be from other continents. So it's like, we can take them to safety, but they don't even know where they are.
There's one guy who raised his hand. He's like, how far away from Ustalav are we?
Oh. Really fucking far.
You're like, I'm on the crown of the world.
Right now, I think the best course is that we will be taking all of you to Cantargo. If you know where that is,
it was like 100 miles from here. It was a couple days. It was like 5 days to Whitehall, and then it was like at least another 3 or 4 out to the quarry.
So it's 3 days from the quarry to White Rock, and then 5 days, I believe, from White Rock to Cantargo.
That sounds right. So we're out in the country, but
the closest port we can get you to is Cantargo.
All right, you're not going to kill us, are you?
No, you are officially rescued.
You are officially rescued.
That's what the last guy said.
They were slavers. We're not.
You're not. And you say it goes over. Starts like checking your pockets, looking for like the Scarlet Triad, like symbol somewhere on you.
You find
Glenn. Glenn, quiet down.
Glenn.
I have fought alongside these people. I can tell that their intentions are of noble cause. You see, I have faced many a battle, as I might have regaled you all with many tales of my exploits in war. I know that they are not here to take advantage of us. And now that I am back to my full strength, if they try anything, well,
kill them, Garn, I know it.
I'm just trying to think about how crazy your old war tales must have been, filled with Addlebrain.
Oh my god.
How much of those stories would actually happen?
He starts a story and it detracts to a different one, like a different location completely. He's like, wait, how did he get over there?
And you remember when I jumped on the back of that undead dragon? Yes. I slew its spine, split its spine in half with my club.
You don't split a spine with a club. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Actually, you don't say. You wore an onion on your belt.
And I bit off its wings with my teeth.
I like this guy. Let's keep this guy.
I want more Garn stories. Start writing this. So you guys are heading to White Rock first.
Yeah.
Okay.
While you guys are walking, you get just like, you know, a line of people going, and you know, they sort of eventually form into groups and stuff like that. So it's a long walk, but you guys can make it. Elkwood, I'm sure you can make plenty of survival checks in order to forage or hunt for food for all these people.
Nah, don't feel like it. I mean, like, actually, he was going to say that, like, if once their addle brains off, if there's other people that might be skilled in survival as well, like, you don't know, one of them might be not a full ranger, but, you know, a hunter.
I mean, they're just civilians. I mean, they could always aid.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, because, I mean, even if I just did a shit ton of, I'm just thinking of the game, survival checks. For hunting, that takes a lot of time, and if we're trying to move at the same time, so it'd be better to maybe get a couple things going at the same time. Like, rations and all that crap.
This group
Janice, you talked to me. I remember you saying something about how you knew your way around a bow and arrow. Maybe this fellow has an extra one for you, so you can help out. You know I'm no good at hunting.
Well, I shot a few muskrats, but I don't know if I could take down a whole deer.
Shit, muskrats are out here? All right.
This group was one god-touched super warrior and then just a bunch of fucking shoemakers or something.
We're all cobblers. That's all we know.
They raided one shoemaker town. Entirety. All shoes come from this
guys,
place.
Guys, we got some sweet jades from this person we saved in the quarry.
Boots of hunting. That's all we need.
Nope, they're just boots of looking fly.
Okay, take it.
They can aid.
That's fine. Just get super criticals, I guess.
So give yourself a +2 because you know they could do foraging while you do the hunting and stuff.
Pretty much.
Hopefully, they get the right blueberries, the ones that are good for you, not the ones that make you shit yourself.
Ah, there you go. 26. You know.
Eventually, you guys make your way. After a few days, you make your entrance into White Rock. If you remember last time, the jealous rat burned down because of Malus's doing.
Damn shame.
So they are still putting this thing back together. Remember, they had to do a tear down and then salvage and then try to rebuild. So they're in the middle of, like, probably do the foundation or something like that. So they're doing it. It's just taking a minute. What do you guys do?
Benson walks straight up to the governor's house.
Kenton Jaltero. He was... Oh, yeah. Let me have a picture of him somewhere. There he is. This lovely gentleman.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy. He's drinking and working on his roof again. He looks up and he goes, "Hello there. Seems you've returned. What's of my quarry? I pray everything is in order."
"There are many things that are not in order. Get down."
"Oh. Are they quite dire? Should we discuss this over a beverage?"
"If you wish." I want to clock this guy so bad.
Uh-huh. just that response alone. She's like,
he has no idea. You told him, and he's like, "Oh, it must be serious." But
Benson,
like,
just wants to hurt
people.
He has
no idea. Yeah, he has no idea.
What was that? Benson into hurting people?
So he climbs down. You guys go into his hunting lodge there, the same place you guys talked last time. He pulls out some gentleman jack or something.
He goes, "Nice mint julep."
They always say 9:30 is too early. I disagree. I don't know why he's an alcoholic. It doesn't say that in the book.
It's now canon.
Not exactly now, yes.
He has a town that has nothing but two bars. He's an alcoholic.
Two bars and five houses. I mean, come on, what else you got?
If only we had one cobbler.
There are no services rendered here. It is just alcoholic.
We have an army of cobblers here for you.
But the whole town is out there building their bar just so they can get back to drinking.
This is one of the two most important places. We need it up now.
Benson will sit down next to this man and explain everything that happened and explain that he now has to deal with a very large amount of slaves that have been freed. And he will say, I understand that you have a very small town. He pulls out a token with the black crest on it, hands it to him, and he says, don't worry about costs.
One, you just pretty much trauma bombed him with like all the shit that you guys just went through.
Yeah. Oh, he was trauma bombed? Thanks. Okay, sorry. He was trauma bombed.
Oh, I was enjoying my 9 steady.
Benson's like, tears.
Yeah. The Velstrax you told him about that like killed Grimshaw and stuff like that. I mean, he just has his hands over his forehead, just like tucked into the table. He's just like, oh my will. And how to be praised you were there, but I know not the first thing of how to do this. I'm simply a mayor of a small town that we more than happy to help those that were affected, but here we are with this entire situation. Fine, we will hold you for a few days, and we will do everything we can, but we are still rebuilding the Jealous Rat, as you see. From like a block away, he points to
it. Yeah. Benson just kind of looks at him, and he pulls out his entire... by the way, Benson has not really spent much gold. So Benson just plops down about 200 gold pieces.
True.
And he looks at him and says, write a letter to Morris Black. Tell him my name, give your seal, and you will have whatever you need. Take care of these people.
He sits there looking at his what is effectively a blank check. And he just says, right away, we will aid in any way we can. Your efforts are much, much appreciated. We have not much to offer with our current situation, but you're welcome to stay in town as long as you need to recover.
I'm not expecting anything from you. I'm just doing what needs to be done. Make sure you take care of these people.
Thank you, Sir Vincent. It is a blessing to have you here. I fear what might have come over my town should the Scarlet Triad have begun expanding. And do you think they would have raided us eventually? My worst fears are something like that happening. We don't have a militia.
You are their next target.
I know not how to show my appreciation more, but...
Then don't. Please. Then just show it. Show it to the kindness you show to these people. We are shepherds, aren't we? We show those who are not capable of saving themselves peace. Show them peace. Then you will repay me in full and with bags of gold.
Very well. We will get to work. Post haste.
We'll have to build a second bar.
A third bar, even.
A third bar.
What do you think about a third bar right here? Do you think...
That's exactly what these people need.
Trifecta. Anybody else want to do anything? We guys are in town here. Are you guys leaving all of the people here, or are you just continuing on to Cantargo with them?
I think it depends what people want to do.
Yeah,
we'll have to like.
We can,
you know.
Yeah,
them.
We can definitely just offer it. Like, I mean, someone with a better charisma skill.
Yeah, wasn't the intention that Morris Black was going to facilitate getting them home so we didn't have to?
Essentially, yes.
That's what I took from that. Like, they can huddle up here until the Black House comes with help, and we can just continue on with our ship.
Okay.
I guess an awful more from Cantargo.
And a few of them are.
Oh, sweet.
They'll just come with us.
Yeah, a few of them also say they just want to go to Kintargo because there's, you know, ports. It's a port town. It's a port city. So obviously they'll be able to get to, you know, Ulfin Kingdoms or something like that, like wherever the hell they're from. About half of them stay here. About half of them come with you. You still have about 8 people in tow. They buy something better than the rags they were wearing, which is good.
Garn definitely wants something other than the loincloth that he has.
I think it looks good on Garn, honestly. It's actually more intimidating to have an angry dwarf run at you half naked.
You think, Elkwood, you think I should take a look?
There's a whole Scottish thing. It's like they wore kilts so they could run through the heather, and the second it got too bad, they literally just dropped them. Like, you got 1,000 Scotsmen running at you, dicks out.
Yep.
A bunch of naked Scotsmen just running at you. Yeah, I'd be freaked out. I'm sorry.
I'm not fighting this. See you.
There was a in a game that we played. It was a 5e game, but it was set in the Grimdark. It was in Grimhollow. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was in the Grimhollow campaign setting. There was a moment where they were staying somewhere, and the dwarf barbarian we had played by a friend of the pod, Brood, they woke up because they got attacked at night, and then he was like, I ain't putting clothes on. It's a dwarf barbarian running, just...
Fuck it.
Dick swinging.
Yeah, God, now I remember like, that
what are you
going
to do? What are you going to do about that?
Oh my God, that's great.
You guys continue on your way. The people that stayed, thank you. So much. Some of them might stay here for a while until the Black family comes. Some of them might just start heading south. They might, you know, get some supplies and just start heading south. But they're in a much better spot. The people you have with you continue along your path with you all the way up to Kintargo. Another 5 days. When you guys get to Kintargo, as you all arrive back into the Silver City, Kintargo, things appear to be more lively than usual. It has, after all, been 3 weeks since the visage of Barzillai stopped haunting the locals. You would know that the Bellflower Network, Lacoon Effects, and the Crimson Briar let the dangers quietly slip away to allow the city to return to peace once more. There's an underlying sense of gratitude from the people that know that the Silver Ravens once did this too, and some might even claim the victory to them rather than you guys. But this is just because the Silver Ravens are a symbol now, an intangible group of superheroes that Kintargo can trust when evil arises to oppress them. Today, without anyone knowing, you are the superheroes. Their good nature and lively attitudes are because of your deeds. Whether you aim to take credit or not, today you are the heroes who stepped in when they all needed you. What are you guys doing when you first get here? Just kind of seeing the whole vibe of the city in the state that it's in.
I don't mean to put too fine a point on it, but I don't have any armor. I don't have any weapons. I don't have anything. Perhaps we could furnish me. I would like to accompany you all. I spoke to Kezra the other night, and I think... he is good with me coming along, but I haven't really gotten a chance to talk to you or you. Motions to Benson and Elkwood. Mm. But if you all will have me, I have waged war on the Scarlet Triad, so whatever you all can help me with, I promise my body and my blade to fighting them.
Can I make a roll to see if the Black family has any weapons and or armor selling in this particular city?
Roll society or
arms. Roll arms dealer.
Arms dealer.
That is exactly what I'm rolling.
Oh, they have the Black blue, family AK. I mean.
The blue bones don't disappoint with a 19 on the die.
All right.
I will need to see what my society is because I don't have my sheet up because I'm a bad player.
I was mostly roleplaying. So sorry.
Society's plus 14. So.
You're at some point when you're talking to some of the weapon shops and stuff like that. Yeah, you absolutely find some of the weapons made by your family.
So I literally roll in, I point to him, and I point to the smith, and I said, I just said, give him what he wants.
Who are you?
My name is Benson Black.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Righto.
He just kicks another guy that he was fitting. He's just like, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Just tosses him out, closes the door.
This would be a good time to, while we're in Kintargo, before we continue on, to, like, probably take care of our inventory and shit after we record.
Oh, well, oh,
yeah.
Offline. Yeah, offline.
Off air, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Garn, as you are looking through stuff and you're picking stuff out, you know, weighing this option, weighing that mace and that shield, you know, that kind of thing, you hear what sounds like a battle horn. Very, very quietly. And you sort of follow it, and you see on the wall near the counter is a drinking horn.
Huh.
And as you get close to it, you realize the wind was blowing through it in such a way that it was making that noise. Usually it would just make like a light whistle, but for some reason you were hearing a battle horn ever so slightly coming from this thing.
Tell me, how much for that?
That's mine.
I must have it.
That?
Yes.
I use that for drinking, friend.
No. Let me show you. Yes.
And he takes it in his hand, and
there's beer in it.
There's beer in it. Well, he
he drinks the beer. Dunks, obviously,
he drink it first.
He dunks his hand into the beer.
Because there's like, oh, you.
He's like,
leave his horn alone, you old fossil. Take out the sham armor.
Hey, what the hell?
And he pulls out a vial. It looks to be some sort of elixir.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And he tosses the vial, like, just it smashes against the wall, and he digs his hand into it, and he pulls out another one, and he tosses it against the wall, and he pulls out another.
Yes, what are you doing? Yes.
The guy goes over and grabs it and looks inside, and he's just like, the hell? Is this like magic?
No,
have I been
no.
drinking out of a magic drinking horn?
No, that's not it. This is just a regular horn. But you see when an item calls, you must answer its call.
And he does it one last time.
And he's like, here, drink.
So your hand covered in beer with a vial. With the vial.
Yes.
So he takes it.
With an insane look on your face, too.
Yeah, like,
take it. Oh, drink this shit.
I wouldn't drink that.
You only live once. And he opens it.
And he feels, if he had any hit point damage, it's gone.
He's
a
blacksmith, so yeah, he's got a smashed finger, you know, burnt, so burnt arm.
The finger just kind of snaps back into place. The burn disappears.
Oh, my wife's going to love that.
God, my peen's been so soft.
Goddamn, that's good.
I'm rock hard right now.
That's good.
Thank God you gave me a magical little drinking potion out of your horn. Now I'm rock hard.
My wife's gonna be so happy my fingers
Oh my God.
It's because the bean don't work.
That's the first thing the guy thought about.
Hey, he was seriously thinking about his wife, okay?
Oh, I can tell.
Me too.
A loving husband.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I work, I'm just like, I can't wait to go home and spend time with my wife.
Oh my gosh.
So it heals him. And he's just like, what? This is mine now. I didn't know I had a magic drinking horn.
No. You do not see. Try to do it. Go ahead.
And he well, one, he pours the beer out since you stuck your hand in a bunch of times. But he like puts his hand in, wiggles it around, puts it upside down and shakes it. How'd you do it? No, you're a magician. You're some kind of magician, aren't you? Just a sleight of hand.
I don't know what I am, but I am this.
And he, like, the mote of, like, the divine essence kind of hangs there.
This is what does it. It is not arcane. It is not primal. I don't know what it is. But this horn, it is called to me. Whatever price. It is. I mean, I think I've already paid it in full. Happy wife, happy life. Am I right?
That's a horrible stigma that nobody should follow. He just looks at it and dumbfounded, stupefied by this. He's just like, fine. If you're buying stuff today, yeah, you can have it, friend. You can have it.
Yes.
All right, so he kind of slings it around, you know, gets, you know, maybe he has a little string or something, takes a strip from his loincloth.
I don't even need armor anymore. I got this horn.
This will protect me for all ages.
So, yeah, he got his Horn of Plenty, which I'll go into the mechanics of that later, but all right. I am able to pull out elixirs from it, or healing potions of some
healing kind. Potions.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think while you're also looking through things, Kezra, he pulls out Grimshaw's Morning Star, and he like looks over to Benson, and he goes,
"I think Grimshaw would want this to avenge him and to keep freeing the oppressed. If you agree, right, Benson."
Quick time out. I thought that was one of Tim's new characters, like things. Like your focuses or something?
Oh, so the thing with an icon is it's technically any item of a certain category. So like me being like drawn to a specific item,
yeah,
is I could be recalled to like any kind of version of that mundane item. So like me like forging a bond with a specific item is more of a flavor choice on my part and less of like a class mechanic.
So you're not connected to this item?
I mean, I think Garn is. Garn is connected to this item. But by the technicality of the rules, I could have the same connection with any version of this item. But I mean, he doesn't necessarily know the mechanics of his class. He just thinks, I can do this thing with this item. He's still trying to figure stuff out, but that's the item where he kind of first discovered his power, so I think he would like to have it, but he's obviously not going to ask for it.
There is a second that Benson looks genuinely disgusted at Kezra. It has nothing to do with the idea of what Kezra is doing. It's the fact that that weapon was not buried with Grimshaw. But I think he gets over it relatively quick. And he just, what did you have in mind?
I think Garn should use it. Seems right up his alley.
A freed slave using a weapon of the champion of Melania? Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
I wasn't going to ask, but it is pretty sweet.
It's kind of fucking sick wicked.
Whoever built this character was awesome.
They had a great taste in weapon.
Yeah, I heard he was smoldering good looks as well.
I saw him, he was hot.
Pretty tragic backstory of really deep character development.
But he still had a dump truck of an ass.
I always remember that.
In terms of what we did bury Grimshaw with, because we actually didn't discuss that, I did imagine burying him in his armor with his shield, and I feel like we'd take everything else of his. Maybe not his fiery cloak thing. That was kind of his cool ass little
thing.
He
also did have a fairly valuable rune on his armor. stealth room.
The stealth room.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily take that, but yeah, I feel like at this point the armor was completely shredded with that death blow. So
That's true. So, okay. Well, so you can, Tim, when you go to outfit yourself, you get like a 20% discount. So just go through and outfit yourself like you would with a new character. What are you guys doing after this? Garn finally has clothes and weapons and armor. What next?
I think we explained to Garn what we're doing.
I think we should go to like a pub or something just to sit down and talk.
Like fill him in on like what's going on. He doesn't know anything about Lasetta's ring or that. Or all these gates. He doesn't know that this Eye of the Wise is a gate key. I don't think we shared anything about Lazlan with him because we didn't really know if he was going to be with us. I think it's time to fill him in about while we make our plan to head back through the gate to Breach Hill. So I think, getting in for the night at a pub, filling him all in on that, getting a night's sleep.
Yeah.
That was a pretty nice tavern that everybody knows about. So. Got pretty good Rubens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, snap. Cool.
That's right.
I was going to say I wanted a Ruben.
Yeah.
Right now. We'll have to explain to old Ruben that Grimshaw's dead.
No, Bob.
I just call him Ruben.
His name is Ruben now.
Bob Kessler Ruben. Calls him Ruben.
What is a Ruban? Ruban?
We're about to change your life.
Do they not have them in Tal'Dor?
Tal'Dor's got awful food.
Horrible.
It's like, I've never been there. Well, I don't want to visit now.
They've got mashed potatoes, and that's about it.
Yeah, so Garn's about to have the glory of corned beef and Thousand Island dressing on rye bread.
Why do I feel like my heart's clogging up?
The first time in his old-ass dwarf life.
It's like, come on, old-timer, I got a sandwich for you.
All right. As long as it isn't hard on the teeth and is full of fiber, I think I'll be good.
Man, going a month without a Reuben is horrible. Can't imagine going 250 years.
Only 247.
I round.
Don't have all of his teeth.
Close enough.
Of course he has all his teeth.
Okay.
Whether or not they're all his original teeth. Could be a little bit of ingot, little iron, little steel, little bronze.
He smiles and it glimmers. That's cool.
Don't call me Garn Goldtooth for nothing.
You guys make your way to the Thornia Rose Tavern. You walk in and I forget the guy's name. I know that he was played by...
Are you talking about Sir Thor?
No. It was the two owners that were there. I need to go back in my Google Docs to remember where all that shit was. The owners, which I definitely remember the name of, and I'm just not saying it.
Yeah, because there was that young kid who was working the front counter. There was the line chef and then the two owners.
Yeah,
they pieced out pretty quick. I remember.
Well, remember that they were told to go bring back. Yeah, you heard from, who was it?
Is it Sir Thorin? No.
No, it was.
It's that young blood, and then we found a note.
Oh, Alvin! Alvin was the guy who was played by Paul Dano.
Right.
So he's working there, and then the two owners, Emmett and Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
So there was work in there. You had heard from Alvin that the owners were told to go out and try to get members of the Crimson Briar to come back because they were making them come back so they can murder them one by one. So you walk in and Alvin's waiting tables while the two owners are the husband is talking to people while the wife is making drinks.
I was told Rubens are here.
Alvin looks at you. He's like, yeah, you could find a seat right over there.
They're paying.
Sure.
Rubens all around.
All right, four Rubens. Okay.
Jeez.
goes back and he's like, "Hey, Bob, four more. Table three. Thank you." Goes back. He goes, "All right." Pulls out the little like notepad. All right. Drinks for you guys.
Give me an ale.
One ale.
Two ales.
Three ales.
Yes, I'll have what they're having.
Six ales.
Six ales. And, oh, am I supposed to break tradition here? And you'll actually get a wine.
Oh. And a wine. Sophisticated. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll have that up. So he goes back. Ruben's come out in 3 minutes flat.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
Almost too fast.
Yeah. Well, do you know, he has an artifact back there. Yeah. 20th level that just pops Ruben out.
I'll take that artifact. He
comes out, hands him to you guys. None of you... I think you guys met Alvin. But yeah. Alvin... No, actually, you didn't. Grimshaw was the only one that made contact with Alvin.
And sent him off.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then said, "Get out of here. I'll take care of it."
So it's really just Bob and Sir Thorin. They're not nowhere to be seen.
Well, Bob's in the kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. But Bob's in the kitchen. Obviously, Sir Thorin is maybe downstairs.
Right.
But you don't know.
I don't even know if Grimshaw told anyone, like, a secret. I'm sure he must have told them the secret, like, code word.
I mean, it's
hard because... you have to order a certain drink. Jake totally teed us up. Or no one ordered the drink.
You know, would they know? Would they know to do that?
I think Grimshaw would have filled them in.
Okay,
what's the drink?
It's the Crimson Elixir.
All right. Well, after Benjamin gets his ale and his Reuben, and he said, "Oh, could I also get some Crimson Elixir?"
Okay, so... So you have to, like, order it with, like, a twist of fate or something.
And a twist of fate, whatever. Just Jesus Christ.
you gotta pull your pants down.
You gotta whip it out and just start, shaking that hog.
Got a helicopter.
You order that, and Alvin just looks at all of you and just goes, when you're finished, follow me, I guess. So you all take your time eating. I guess this is the time that you'll fill in Garn with everything.
Yeah.
And you go down into the basement of the Thorny Rose Tavern.
Can I make any check? Because this is seeming really fucking shady.
Oh, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thing. Remember, they were like the secret SWAT team that was like busting into like human trafficking, you know, operations and stuff. So, so you guys go down. The angel statue is still broken. But Sir Thorin comes out to meet you guys.
With a good leg?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yep, so yeah, he seems to be walking fine. He's just in like regular clothes and stuff. And he just comes out and he's just like, "Friends, how are you? New compatriots, where's Grimshaw?"
"He's gone."
"I'll see you guys next time." Hey there, everybody. If there's one thing I love about tabletop role-playing games is the monsters that players will come across in their adventures. And that's why one of my favorite things coming out from Misty Mountain Gaming is their Monster Mayhem themed subscription box for the month of May. Go sign up right now for one of the tiers and you can get some awesome stuff coming out from them. Little trinkets and stickers and all sorts of theme stuff for all of your favorite monsters from Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder and everything else. Different tiers get you different stuff. And as always, make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout to get 10% off your entire order. See you in the next episode.